And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was. That's the title of our message this morning. And so it was. That while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, teach us this morning that everything that happens happens because Christ is preeminent. Because all that you have created was created for his pleasure. And that all that you do, the purpose of God in all things, is your own glory and the eternal good of your beloved sheep. And Christ is both. Christ is all. Teach us this morning. In his precious name we ask. Amen. And it came to pass. Came to pass, and so it was. Think of this from the perspective of Joseph and Mary. Things came to pass that they didn't even know about. And so it was because of things that were completely beyond their control, and some that they thought were within their control. But it came to pass, and so it was. This past December, we looked at verses 1 through 20 of this chapter and spoke of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll see that all through these verses again. I want to look now, verse by verse, at every word of this text. Today, verses 1 through 7. And I pray the Lord will show us even more than he already has how gracious he is to reveal his Son. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Here's a man who had the authority to affect the whole world. But the taxing of the whole world didn't come to pass because Caesar decreed it. It came to pass that Caesar decreed it. There's a difference. The word "it came to pass" is one Greek word. It came to pass, one word in the Greek. And the word is genomai, which means to cause to happen. Our word generate comes from this. To cause to happen. In other words, it didn't just happen. It was caused by somebody. For me to generate something, energy has to be expended. There has to be a purpose behind it. Somebody Something has to be done by somebody to cause it to happen. In the text now, Caesar Augustus was generating revenue for his government. Right? That's the way we would say that. We need to generate some revenue. So he made a decree. But here's what the text is saying. Somebody generated him generating it. It came to pass that he did it, that he generated it, that he decreed it, and that he got it done. It was generated that he generated some revenue. Caesar was making something happen, but somebody made him make it happen. Somebody made him making it happen, happen. That somebody is God. And if any man has any power, much less power to tax the whole world, it came from God. This book says in Ephesians 1:11 that God's people are predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Every decree he has decreed. Caesar was doing something because God was doing something. I pray that this message will be so simple that 1 + 1 = 2 will look complicated in comparison. But by God's grace, may it be so profound that we'll never be the same. May this truth be so profound to us. May we be still this morning and know that he's God. He's still teaching us that he's God. May he do so this very morning and cause us to be in awe of the sovereign one who does everything he does for one purpose. Caesar was doing something because God was doing something. Have you learned to look for this behind the events of our day? Have we learned to see that? President Donald Trump is doing something because God is doing something. What's Trump doing? Well, he's just taking care of the business of government, just like Caesar was in our text, doing the business of government. He's trying to fix our nation's problems. That's what some politicians do anyway. He's trying to secure our borders. He's trying to improve our economy. He's doing things like what Caesar was doing here. In fact, Trump is in a sense taxing us, isn't he? He's over that. Just like Caesar. That's what governments do. They tax. You know, governments may or may not do a lot of things, but what they're going to do is tax you. I guarantee you that. I pray and expect that taxes will be decreased under Trump. He's going to tax us, isn't he? Why is God causing our president to cause things? And what are we doing? What are we doing? Well, right now we're preaching and we're hearing. In general, in this life, we're working and playing and doing all the everyday things that most people do. Waking up in the morning, going to work. You got a list, you know, like everybody else. What is God doing? What is God doing? I don't need to know what you're doing tomorrow. I need to know what God's doing. I need to see that. I need to understand that. If you only had this verse to go by, verse 1, we're looking just at verse 1, and it came to pass. It was generated. It was caused that Caesar caused something. He made a decree. It was decreed that he made a decree. If you just had that verse to go by, you'd say that God is taxing the world here. That's what God's taxing the world. Caesar made the decree, but God made the decree that Caesar would make the decree. Caesar is just a secondary cause. God is causing him to cause it. Now, there's sin in us causing things. Think about this with me. There was sin in this tax. I'm sure he was doing it with ulterior motives and fleshly reasons, and I doubt if God had much to do with it. You reckon God's glory had much to do with tax in the world? And there's sin in us causing everything we cause. Even when we're causing something good, there's sin mixed with it. But there is no sin in God causing us to cause it. How do you know that, Chris? Because there's no sin in Him. There's no sin in Him. There's no sin in anything that He does. Well, how can that be? Well, think about it this way. Let's learn this from God's Word. Joseph said to his brothers, who had sold him into slavery, they despised him. His brothers hated him so much. They threw him into a pit, and he was sold into slavery. They lied to his father, broke their father's heart. And Jacob, years later, said this to them, "You meant it for evil. There was sin in what you caused, but God caused it for good." And let's remember this simple text now, because there's more to it than that, and we're going to get to that. What you caused was evil. And what Caesar caused, there's evil in everything our government does too. There's evil in everything you do and everything that you cause. But God causing you to cause it was good. It served His good and perfect, righteous, eternal purpose. Do you remember what Jacob said after that? Listen to it. I'll tell you what, turn there with me. Genesis 50, verse 20, because I want you to see the language of this. This is our text. This is it right here. Everything in our text is contained right here. In Luke chapter 2, 1 through 7, it's all in this one verse, just in more general terms. But it teaches us something here now. It teaches us something deep and profound, something glorious. It's good news to the sinner. Turn to Genesis 50, 20. All right, if you're there, listen. "But as for you," and we know what they did. They hated him because of a dream that God gave him, that he was going to rule over, that they were going to bow down to Joseph. And sure enough, they did bow down to him, didn't they? God showed him a long time before it ever happened. It was going to happen. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him. They hated him because of the word of God, the truth of God. That kind of rings a bell, doesn't it? They hated our Savior for the same reason, because he testified of the truth. "God, as for you, you thought evil against me." Everything they did was full of evil, and everything we do is full of it too now. "But God meant it unto good, to bring it to pass, to bring to pass as it is this day." Why did God do it? Why did God cause evil? And there wasn't any evil in him causing the evil now. He meant it unto good. He did it for good. It was good for him to do it. Why did he do it? To save. To save. What has that got to do with our text? "Unto you is born this day in the city of David." Why in the city of David? Because of the tax. But that's just a secondary cause. In the city of David. Why did God cause it? Why did God cause the causes? A Savior. He did it to save. Can we see that in everything? What has a tax got to do with God saving His people? Oh, everything has to do with God saving His people. Everything has to do with Christ. Christ is all, and you remember the rest of it? And in all. our question is this: what is God doing? What was God doing when Joseph's brothers were plotting to destroy him? What was God doing? He was saving. They didn't find that out till way later, did they? Have we found that out? What is God doing this morning? You know what he's doing? He's saving. He's saving. And when he's done saving, there won't be a world anymore. Don't need it. God has a universe because he has a people. And he has a people because of his Son. Everything is because of Christ. Everything. What was God doing when he gave Joseph that dream that caused his brothers to hate him? What was he doing then? That don't look like salvation, does it? A tax doesn't look like salvation. But we've got to learn to see beyond the events, beyond the secondary causes. We need to know what God's doing, don't we? I don't know much about everything else, about all the secondary stuff. I don't know much about the business of government. And I don't see a lot of good in it unless I look beyond the causes to the cause of the causes. And know that he is good. What was God doing when Joseph's brothers, the day that they threw him in that pit, what was he doing that day? Well, Joseph said in Genesis 50:20 that what he was doing was saving people. Isn't that glory? That's what he's always done. He's been saving people since the first people. What is God doing in our text? Verse 11, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God has always been saving people from the beginning. What's God doing right now? He's still saving. What does taxing the world have to do with that? Well, we don't know very much about secondary causes and things like that. We can't see that in the newspaper specifically. We don't know. But here's what God has revealed. I know this. I know that if Jesus of Nazareth is God's Christ, then he got to be born exactly according to God's word. And if he's going to be born exactly according to God's word, he got to be born in Bethlehem. And I know this, if he's going to be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, as we just read, the virgin who is carrying him in her womb must give birth to him in Bethlehem. But she don't live in Bethlehem. She lives in Nazareth, 90 miles away, which doesn't sound like much. I can do 90 miles in a little over an hour. It took them 4 or 5 days to get there, maybe longer. She lives 4 or 5 days. You know what that is to me? Where could I be in 4 or 5 days? Why would they travel 4 days or more to go to Jerusalem? Look at verse 4 of our text. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Now they told you where to go based on where you, what house you were of, what lineage. You went to a specific place. It just so happened that for Joseph, that was Bethlehem. Because. You see that? Wait a minute, that's not why. That's not why. He did it because God decreed it. Scripture says because he was of the house and lineage of David. You see, God doesn't dismiss the secondary causes. They're from him. God uses means to bring about his purposes. And he honors those means because those means honor him. The word of God is one of those means. You're not going to be saved without the word of God. You're not going to be saved without that book right there. You see that there? Joseph went because. Of course, there's a because behind that because. maybe several. The first because is God. But that because is there, isn't it? Those reasons. And we see them everywhere. Verse 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was. This is the way it was. It's the way it was because God. Remember that every day. Remember that in everything that happens to you, that happens to anybody else, that happens at all. God. In the beginning, God. In the beginning of this day, God. In the beginning of tomorrow, God. In the beginning without a beginning, God. And what's God doing? Let's look at it now. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished. Something was accomplished. The days were accomplished. Those days were an accomplishment. Because all of this is an accomplishment that someone performed. That she should be delivered. So in order for God to save his people, he caused Caesar to impose a tax on the world. Now, why did God do it that way? There are numberless ways God could have caused this. He could have caused his son to be born without a tax being imposed on the whole world. Don't you imagine he could have done that without that? Well, I don't know why he did it this way, but I know why he did it. I know why he did it. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, what does Christ have to do with all of it? Why were those shepherds there? Why did the wise men come? What were the angels there for? What was their message? What did they talk about? It's all Christ. Why is this recorded? Why do we know what happened a couple of thousand years ago? And why does it matter? And suddenly there was, verse 13, with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying. Now it's all concerning Christ. This whole book concerns Christ. Christ is all and in all. And look at verse 14 and notice two key words in this verse. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Two words really here. Peace is there too, but that's included in the word good. Peace specifically because this is the problem. We are by nature enmity against God, and what we need is peace with God. But look at these two words, glory and good. If you can remember those two words, you'll know the answer to this question. Why did God do that? Why did God say that? Why did he do that? Why did this happen? Why did that happen? Why? Why attacks? Why this trial? Why this situation that doesn't make any sense? I can't understand it. I don't know what to do. Why? Glory and good. Glory unto God and good to his people. The pronouncement of heaven upon this entire scene, and this entire scene concerns the birth of a person now. reason that God sent his son, that he sent his son, and why he sent his son. And this is the pronouncement of heaven upon this entire scene. The glory of God and the good of his people. This is glory to God, and this is good for somebody on this earth. What is the glory of God? What is the glory of God? Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You think, boy, Caesar had some, he had the power to tax the whole world. But when we talk about made the worlds and everybody in it and makes everything that happens in them happen, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory. Not who shows the brightness of his glory. Not even just who reveals the brightness, who being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins. What's God doing? He's saving. How's he doing it? When he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. What is God's glory? It's a who. Who being the brightness of his glory. What is the good of God's people? What is God's good will toward his sheep? What is that? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. What did the angel say? Good will toward men. What's the good will of God? That you be chosen, loved, holy, without blame, predestinated, redeemed to the praise of the glory of his grace, where he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's the good pleasure of God's will toward men. Are you one of them? And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. There, laying in that manger, is the brightness of God's glory. And there in that manger is God's salvation. Just 8 days later, Simeon looked into his face and said, "Mine eyes have seen God's salvation." The glory of God and all of God's goodness towards sinners is a person. May we give him glory this very morning. May we give God glory for his Son. And may we rejoice in his salvation.